listening to the teaching ministry of Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about how we can be of service to you, please visit us at www.uxbridgebaptist.com.
Wow. That was great, you guys. Let's just give another expression of our appreciation to Oliver and Anita. It's always a blessing to see people use their gifts and talents to bring glory to God, and yet to see some so young who are doing that is something that really thrills our hearts. So God bless you guys. God bless all of you. Happy New Year to all of you. I'm trusting that a good percentage of you are awake and you know, doing reasonably well this morning. We've actually got a fairly simple morning planned for us, just to enter in with all of our hearts and just give thanks to God and to recognize that as He was God yesterday, and so He's also God today and for all of our tomorrows. And so we just want to share in that together. There's a great opportunity for us to participate, and I'll share a little bit of that with you in just a couple of moments. Let me give you some great news to start off the new year. We've already had some wonderful news, but if you haven't heard this yet, Christopher Rosevere has accepted our invitation to come and serve as our pastor of youth and young adults, and he's going to be beginning in about 10 days or so. That's great news, and we're excited for what God has led us through and where we're going to go together. So we're very excited for that. He's going to be starting part-time for a few months near the end of April, something like that, and then we'll be taking up his full-time duties with us. Let me just give you a sense for what's coming ahead over the next number of weeks. Next week is going to be an exciting week. It's our Mission Sunday. We're dedicating the Sunday toward missions. So at 9 o'clock in our adult Sunday school hour, we're going to have Ann Wolger here from Matthew House, and just representing a little update of what's been going on with that ministry. And then at our 10 o'clock worship time next Sunday, Dr. Jennifer Wilson is going to be our primary speaker, and she's going to be sharing on the recent trip to Ghana, the hospital project, and a number of other things that are related to that, as God inspires us and moves us forward to do everything within our power to see the honor of God raised in our opportunities, and also see our brothers and sisters blessed. So that's next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. But the following Sunday, January the 15th, we're going to be launching into a new series of sermons called Back to Go. Back to Go. And the reason we call it that is because we're going to go to the book of, can you guess? You are sleeping. Genesis. We're going to go back to Genesis. Actually, we're going to spend a few months in the first three chapters of Genesis. So we're going back to go. I trust in that we're going back to God, and that we will know God's blessing. And we're going to dive deep in those first few chapters and trust God for His blessing for us. Lots of incredible lessons for us. And then following that, as we approach Easter, we're looking to some sort of Lenten series. This will excite you from the book of Leviticus, I expect. So fasten your seatbelts. We're looking forward to a good time together. Today we're just going to engage in a simple gathering together around the Lord's table. We just want to focus on remembrance and focus on anticipation, which really, as those things gather around Jesus Christ, that's the heart of this remembrance, this observance that the Lord has called us to. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do it a little bit differently, so let me kind of explain that to you. Our deacons are going to assist us, but they're going to have four stations. So we'll have a couple here, and two will be here, and two will be over here, and then two on the back on the sort of corners back there. And you're just going to be free to get up when we give you the opportunity. Go and take the bread, take the cup, and participate, and then back to your seats, okay? Don't run over anyone along the way. Just we'll give you plenty of opportunity when that time comes. This morning, I want us just to think for a few moments about God's call upon our lives to remember. God doesn't call us to remember only once. If you're familiar with the scriptures, there are many occasions when God calls us to remember. One that stands out in my mind is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time focusing, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me say this too. I do want to give you opportunity to give words of thanksgiving for what God has done, for God's blessing of the past. We're going to take a few moments for you to do that, and we'll pass a microphone around so that you have that opportunity. And then a little bit later after that, as you are anticipating the blessing of God in the year to come, maybe a verse of scripture or maybe something else that the Lord has brought to you that is an expression of your confidence in our Father who blesses and what that means for the year to come as we depend upon Him. We're going to give you the opportunity to share that as well. And actually, it's kind of a moment like that that we're reflecting on when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because there, Israel, the nation of Israel, has gone through the severe testing of the wilderness, and they are now at the brink of the promised land, the land that is flowing with milk and honey. And they're about to enter into a period of just unspeakable, unimaginable blessing. Blessing that God had promised all along the way, but a blessing for which they had to be prepared by the wilderness experience. And they're called to a solemn moment of remembrance and consecration. And this morning, I want us just to consider this in three ways. Firstly, to remember, for us to do our own remembering as we participate in this grand story of God saving us. We remember, we remind ourselves that God expects observance of His ways. And then finally, to consider what it is that the Lord will teach us as we move forward. So this is the pattern, I think, that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God has rescued Israel from Egyptian slavery. He's delivered them from the oppression, that heavy oppression of slavery over hundreds of years. Not only that, in the early part of this chapter, but we also have God makes non-negotiable demands. God makes demands. You don't have a say in it. He simply says, this is the way it is, and you are to follow. And thirdly, the thing that we find here is that God promises overflowing blessing in the new land. I think there are messages for us as we consider what God has for us. You see, Israel runs the real risk of failing to meet God's expectations, and that can only result in their destruction. When we fail to meet the expectations of our Creator, when we fail to embrace the mercy and the new standing that He gives us, it can only lead us to destruction. So actually, Moses now is giving, he's offering a sermon to the gathered congregation of Israel, and he's wanting them to consider this. He's wanting them to consider God's faithfulness to them and God's promise that drives them forward. And for all of us, as we enter into that same faith, we are to remember and re-experience the lessons of God, the blessings of God. As we come to the table, we remember and re-experience the miraculous provision of God. We look again today at the blessings that are ours, and we recognize they come from God. It's so critical for us to enjoy the fullness of blessing, to recognize God as the source. And then to live our lives in a way that is in keeping with thanksgiving and hope. That's the calling before us. Let me read this remarkable passage for you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 begins this way, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember, remember. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, God's amazing purpose, to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. Why did God do all of this? To test you, to know what's in your heart. Do you believe God is interested in what's going on in your heart today? It's the same God. And He wants to know what is in your heart. And when we pass through those difficult circumstances, it is clearly under God's sovereign direction. And it's in order to that He might test what's in our hearts. Verse 3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. In other words, in a completely unpredictable, unexpected way, God met your need. And then it says this, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's the word of God that leads to life. Listen to this, verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. We'll stop there just for a moment, and let me try to gather that together for us with a few thoughts. Some things that we need to remember, because God has been with us. And it's important for us to remember, not to forget, but to remember. And this first one is kind of implied. It's not stated explicitly in the text, but it's really the ground for all the rest that's spoken here. You belong to God. Remember, you belong to God. This nation of Israel, they are God's chosen nation. He selected them not because of anything that stood out amongst them, but because of his sheer mercy on them, and because he was choosing to have a presence with them that he would not have with others. They were his people. They belonged to him. Remember, you belong to him. That makes you, your life, your experience unspeakably special. Remember that. It's good for us to remember that this day as we look forward. We belong to him. Then there's this. Remember where you've come from. I think this is also sort of implicit in the text. Remember where you've come from. For the Israelites, it meant their slavery, their years of bondage, and the horrific experience they had there. Remember where you've come from, and that it is God who's taken you from that place to this place. So important for us to remember. In order for us to know our blessings, like to know our blessings, we need to remember where we've come from and remember what God has done. And then there's this third point of remembering. I think it's this. It's remember the lessons that you've learned. Remember what you've learned. Did you learn anything last year, by the way? I was forced into it. remember what you've learned. And what is that? Well, I mean, it's spelled out here with these people. Humility, verse 2. How the Lord your God led you in the wilderness to humble you. Did you learn humility? And in verse 3, dependence upon God. Remember that lesson that God taught you, however he did in your own individual life, how God taught you dependence in this past year. Depend upon him, how that blessing flows from his hand. Verse 3. And 4, that God always provides. Always. Do you remember the lessons that you've learned? I want us to take a moment just to share together. God has done some things in your life, and he deserves praise. He deserves glory and thanksgiving. And what a great way for us to start on this first Sunday of the year, this first day of the year. But to give thanks to him this way. So I'm going to ask Pastor Kathy and Dave, who are going to help us. They're going to run microphones around. And just so if you have just a word that you want to share, we want to hear from you. You know, Pastor Dave and Pastor Kathy are pretty fit, but you don't have to. There's Dave running in the back there now. So, okay, we can make them run. Okay. Please, Carol. Let me read a couple of other verses before we hear from some others of you. And just as we're reminded in our own stories that God is faithful, he never forsakes us. He's always there with us, often unseen. Often we know him by faith, not by sight. That's the walk of the believer for now. But God is with us. Hear what the Lord says through Moses to the nation of Israel as they prepare for that entrance into the land of blessing. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 8 says this, observe the commands. Observe the commands. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Then verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Praise God for the good land that he's given you. Here I take the word observe, that we are to observe God's command. What that is, we're to keep his command. And there's something quite interesting here. The word command is a singular. It's keep the command of God. But it's meant in a way that encompasses everything that God has said to these people, and especially the book of Deuteronomy. It's filled with laws, plural. But God says, keep my command. It's all one. And what does it mean? It means walk in his ways. Do it his way. Live your life his way. You're going to experience this incredible blessing, but live your life his way. That's how you make the fullness of his blessing. God wants to know from his people, will you follow my command? And here as we stand at the beginning of the new year, God wants to know from us, will you follow? Will you follow? There is blessing. He is the father of all blessings. There's no shortage of God's blessings. The question is, what's in your heart? Will you follow? Will you follow the command, the whole command, the whole way of God? Will you walk in his way? You see, here's the challenge. They are to give glory to God because God does deserve glory. That sets all things in their proper order. And they are to be the people of Israel are to be the people who, under the observation of all of the rest of the peoples of the planet, are to be those who give testimony to God's goodness and to the rightness of God. We have that place in our own time. We are to be those people who show for the rest of the world to see the goodness of God's ways and that God does deserve the full devotion of our lives. So in them, they are to offer praise and reverence and worship and obedience. But here's the challenge. Israel must acknowledge and worship God alone. God first, God only. This is the challenge. And they need to understand the connection between blessing that they're about to receive and obedience in which they must walk. That's a perpetual lesson for us to learn, the connection between the blessing that God pours out and the obedience entailed by it in which we must walk. The blessing is a gift which requires obedience. Remember the story, God sustains them through the wilderness, and Israel is that unique illustration of God's ability to sustain wherever we are. It doesn't matter what our status is. Our God remains the same in the day of plenty as in the day of want. God brings them to the promised land, and what we're told here is that there will be no scarcity. All of life's necessities will be provided. But here's the point, or here's where the danger comes. In a kind of paradoxical way, it's actually God's blessing that it's in the context of receiving God's blessing that we might actually stumble and think that somehow we brought those blessings ourselves, that we are the author of the blessing. In the enjoyment of the blessing that God alone brings, somehow in the failure of the human heart, we begin to think that we've brought it on ourselves. And that's the infidelity. That's the breaking of the covenant with God. You see, God is going to bring blessing. In fact, here it even suggests that the things of Israel, their bounty, it's just going to multiply almost without the need to work it, without the need to kind of constrain it or somehow manipulate it. The blessing will just flow. Our calling is simply to acknowledge the blessing comes from God and to worship him as the one he is, and then to live in accordance with his ways. It's this God who blesses us. How could we want to do anything other than to live according to his command? I believe God has promise for us. God has blessing for us. He calls us to be a people of hope. So as you're looking forward into this new year, we ought to be people who look forward with hope. We'd like to hear from one another again. Just maybe it's a word of scripture, maybe it's some other seed of promise that God has placed in your life as you're looking forward to 2017. Share with us what God is putting into your heart to encourage you. Blessed to be a blessing. That's a great word of admonishment to us. Actually, I want to just read through the next portion of this chapter and wrap up with that, because here the focus or the temptation is to turn the focus on ourselves, somehow to lose sight of God and turn the focus on ourselves and think that somehow we are the authors of our own blessing. So the word that I want us to think of here is consider. Just consider God's place and then consider our place. Let me just read the words and let them have their impact. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. It's a severe warning that once God has placed us in blessing, that we remain in blessing by virtue of our observing his commands. Blessing comes from the Lord, verse 16 says. There's something confusing about the prosperity that we as Canadians share, and the confusion is that we actually think we have controlled and manipulated, and because of our enormous skills and whatever it is that we bring to the task, we have somehow managed to eke out a fine existence for ourselves. That's pride speaking. That's confusion. That's loss of sight of what's real. Because what is real is that blessing comes from the Lord. It's he who gives the ability to produce wealth. It's he who gives us the ability to do whatever it is that we do that brings prosperity. And it's he alone who deserves the praise. Will Israel forget? Will Israel forget? As the story unfolds, they did forget. Will we forget? Will we forget? God has called us to remember. It's the blessed life that remembers the God who gives this life. A key indicator of our remembering is our obedience. Are we walking in God's ways? Are we living in God's ways? Are we living for his glory? There's a challenge, a hopeful one for us for this coming year. It's the Lord himself who has come and lived out in full righteousness all of these things. God sent his own son, as we've just celebrated, to live amongst us and to live righteously and then to lay down his righteous life like a lamb unblemished on the altar in order that our sins might be forgiven. It's by faith, not by works that we have done, but by faith that we lay hold of that treasure. It's by faith that we receive the goodness of God. It's by faith that we confess our sin as sin, that we repent of it and turn from it. It's by faith that we turn to Jesus Christ, confessing his righteousness as true righteousness and holding firmly to it. It's by faith that we are saved. And it's as the people of faith that we come to the Lord's table and that we find blessing as we remember. We're going to enter into this worship together, and one way we're going to do that is our band is going to come and they're going to lead us in a song together. With our voices lifted, we'll sing our praise, and then we will enter in and give thanks and celebrate together.